Hello, and welcome to the Yarnings Podcast. I'm Christine, and I'll be your host. This is episode 20, PDX Love. PDX is the airport abbreviation for Portland, Oregon, and I live right across the river. On today's episode, I've got a bunch of yarnings for you. Some events, the kitchen, media, girly, and I'll be doing some bonus geeky tips throughout the episode. So sit right back and have a listen. What are you yarning today? Guess what? I finally finished my Food and Friends Feather and Fan socks. Yay! I'm so glad they're done. This is one of those projects that has dragged on forever because I worked on it so slowly for such a long time. I'm actually weaving in the ends right now while I'm talking to you so that they will be officially done. Although I still need to take some pictures, which I will at least take a snapshot or two so that I can link to the project page in the show notes today. They came out pretty good. I like how the color is striped. I probably could have done a few more increases as I got to the top of the sock. They're a little snug around the top. And that was just me being lazy that I hadn't tried them on for a while. they'll be fine. They just are going to stay up really well, which also counteracts the problem I was trying to solve, which was some of the yarn was pretty underspun in the middle of one of the sections. And so I wanted to make sure that there was going to be enough space on top of the area that was underspun. So then I may have overcompensated. I probably could have added another increase as it got towards the top of the sock. That is one of the reasons why I do them toe up, because I know that my legs are a little wider than just having straight socks. And since these aren't ribbing anywhere on them, it's just feather and fan, and then the top is garter stitch to finish it up. So yeah, they probably could have used another increase. They had some increase after the heel flap, but not near the top. So those are done. Also on the finished items list is the spinning I was working on. The Optum from last episode is drying right now. I soaked that with some leftover merino silk that had stretched a little further than the BFL silk. And so I had still a small ball of it left to ply up. So I just Navajo plied that real quick so that I just had used up the singles. It was just mainly to, and I don't have a purpose in mind for it yet, but I figured I might as well ply it up while it was sitting there in the ball. So I soaked both of those this afternoon and gave them a good thwack on the side of the bathtub, and they are now drying, and I'm very excited for them. They both look so pretty, and I've actually carried around the Optum a few times before I washed it because I was looking for another yarn to go with it. And I wanted to show it off at knitting, and it just hadn't been washed and set yet, so I carried it along with me. I don't think that's going to hurt it, though. I think it's pretty okay, even though, and it felt so soft. So hopefully the washing and setting of the twist will only make it better. So I'm pleased with that. Let's see. I also started my Unwind Spin Along, which is a fiber from Unwind Yarn Company that I talked about last week. This is Holworth, and then there's a BFL silk, and I'm going to ply them together. I'm spinning it just a little larger than I spun the last batch of fibers, so that I will get something a little closer to maybe sport weight, because I want to do a two-ply. So I figured doing it just a little bit thicker. I was spinning crazy skinny on the abstract stuff because I was kind of trying to see how small I could spin. So now that I know how small I can spin, I'm working on how, I don't know, maybe this one might be a little more interesting looking. It's not all exactly the same spun weight. It's pretty close, but it's looking so pretty, and I think that when it's plied up, it'll balance out any variation between them, or maybe it'll be slightly thick and thin. Either way, it's going to be really cool. I love these colors. The colorway is abalone. And I've been meaning to look up to see what abalone is. My husband said it was some sea creature, and he thought it should, would have more green in it. But it's kind of got some white, it's got a nice whitish base with some lime and some violet and blue and lots of greens here and there. So I really like it, and the color variations are turning out really nice. So that's what I'm spinning right now. I've been going full steam ahead on a knitting project that's still a secret, but I have done an amazing amount of knitting on it in the last 10 days, so I'm quite proud of that, and I've been trying to keep track of it as I've been going along, so the pattern won't take me too long to write up. It's very pretty and very different from the other projects I've done, so I'm really excited about that. So much that I have been going to bed with my knitting and sitting in bed and knitting for a while before it gets to be sleepy time. And then sometimes in the morning I've been getting up and sitting in bed while my morning drugs kick in and knitting a little bit more. So it's been that exciting that I've wanted to do it as much as I can. And you'd think that would be enough for the week, but no. I decided I wanted to make a book out of Little Red in the City, which I got a few weeks back. And I decided that I have just about the right amount of yarn for the Angostura vest. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. It will probably get a code name. Might be Angel Star because that's kind of what the words look like to me. So I had 4 skeins of Madeline Tosh Merino in Vintage Gothic, which is a very nice black plummy purple color. It's a really the base color is kind of black. You see more of the black, and then the purple kind of finds its way to the surface. And this pattern is a vest. And it's got reverse stockinette with twisted rib up the front of it and the back of it, and then cables that pull it in to do the shaping. So I did quite a bit of math to try and figure out what size I would be, and I finally came up to decide that I am one size on the bottom and one size on the top. And so the instructions in this book are so phenomenal that I think I have figured out how to adjust to put the cables in the correct place so that it will pull in and I can change from one size to the other as I go along. So I actually did a swatch. I washed it and blocked it and dried it and all that that I'm supposed to do. And I think that I'm on my way. I cast on and figured out the last minute math before one of my things that I'll talk about in the events. And I'm a couple inches into it now. So that will be a good project just for me. That's not something I'm designing, but I'm sure excited about it. And I think it's going to be a great use of this yarn. This weekend, I also picked up a few supplies to work with my Optum, which was drying. It's now dry. I wanted to do something to really make that stand out. So I grabbed some colors at Urban Fibers, downtown Portland, and I think I have a plan for that now, and maybe even some beads. So that's going to be a fun one to work on next.
Ooh, an event. Let's go, let's go.
As I was looking through the paper the other day, they have a list of events and things that are going to be happening in the upcoming month in Portland and Vancouver. And I just happened, my eyes fell on Powell's list of authors. And who should be coming to town but Stephanie Pearl McPhee, the Yarn Harlot. I cannot believe that I had not heard about that anywhere else. None of the local yarn stores had it in their newsletters. It just was something that I randomly happened to see in the paper. So I got all excited and I texted my local friends and said, "Hey, I'm gonna go to this. You wanna come with me?" 'Cause Powell's, it's right downtown, it's right by Urban Fiber, and I love going in there and shopping, and there's good food options right around there. So my friend Leslie and I drove down there and we met up with our other friend Jennifer and we had to do a little shopping and had a lovely dinner at Henry's, which is so named because Henry Weinhard's brewing company started there. And then we went on over to the Yarn Harlot talk. And it was her book tour for her new book, which is All Wound Up. It is another collection of stories, like some of her previous ones. I think I may have all of her books. I'm not sure. There might be one I'm missing. And this is not the first time I've heard her speak. When I was just brand new to knitting, I went by myself to one at the Forestry Center, and that was my first real venturing out to a knitting event. And every time I hear her talk, something new and exciting pops in my brain. She tells such personal stories, but they're so relatable. And sometimes she talks about the science of the whys, or in this case, she did a whole thing on addiction and how yarn could be addicting. And it was so fun and just such a nice event. I didn't stay and get a book signed or anything. I have yet to really personally meet her except for talking to her a few times at Sock Summit. But someday I will be brave enough to do that. So I was really pleased to have found out about that event, and I knit on my vest during the event, and that was a really fun place to sit and knit, and I saw a couple people I knew, and let's see. Karen from the Knit Wits podcast was there, and we waved and smiled from across the room. And I was holding seats, so it was hard to get up and move around too much. But it was fun recognizing faces that I've seen at other events, and just being there and getting to be part of the knitting community. So my next event is actually coming up this coming weekend, November 5th. I don't know, whatever day Saturday is. Isolde Teague is coming to Happy Knits. And she's going to be talking about her new book, newish book, Little Red in the City, which I purchased not too long ago, and that's what I'm knitting my vest out of. So I'm very excited to be getting to go to that with some of my local friends. The event filled up really fast. They had a list for it and everything. So I don't know if there are still tickets available for anybody who's hearing this, but Happy Knits, I will link to them in the show notes and you can find out. So that should be another really fun thing to listen to. I've heard her interviewed on a bunch of podcasts, and so I'm sure this is going to be a great event.
What's Been Cooking in Christine's Kitchen.
I experimented this week with a boxed mix for brownies. I had picked up a few when they were on sale because that's always the best time to get cake mixes or cookie mixes. And I am a big fan of books like The Cake Mix Doctor that suggest things to add into cake mixes to make them better. And I do make things from scratch, but sometimes I just don't have the right amount of time or the right concentration of time to, or the right amount of energy to actually start from scratch. So I had this brownie mix, and I had a can of pumpkin. And back when I was doing Weight Watchers, I had mixed a can of pumpkin with brownie mix, and that actually makes a pretty good thing. Just those two ingredients. No extra oil or eggs or water or anything. But I wanted something a little more flavorful. And so I made brownies with a pumpkin cream cheese swirl in them. I found a recipe on Betty Crocker's site, and I will link to that in the show notes. And it basically had a marbled amount of this pumpkin mixture that went into it, and that was really good. And I thought I'd take it one step further because it was Halloweeny time and I still had some candy corn. So I took a little bit of my autumn mix and melted it up and some peanut butter and used the same idea as my Butterfinger Bites to make a glaze for on top of the brownies. And that worked really well. The only thing with it was a little bit hard to take a bite of the brownie because it caramelized so much. So I think next time I would actually try and do a little less so that it had more of a lacy pattern on top of the brownies. But it was a really easy way to add just one more layer to these brownies. And let's see. So I went to the grocery store this last week and got a nasty look from the lady at the deli because I asked for a very small amount of roast beef. And the problem that I normally have is I don't eat a lot of lunch meat. So I have to go and buy whatever size of lunch meat they have and go with that. But I thought they've got this big deli at the grocery store we were at. They have roast beef at the counter. I'll get just enough for the one sandwich that I was planning. We were going to make French dips, and Eric was going to have grinders, hoagies, whatever you call them in your area. And since he's a vegetarian and I'm not, we just needed just a small amount. So I asked the lady for just what I wanted, and she kind of gave me this look like, seriously, I have to cut this and you're only going to order that much? So what do you think? Is it wrong to ask for little bitty quantities at the deli? I was doing the right thing for my budget, and I wasn't going to have extra roast beef to throw away this way, which has happened in multiple occasions. But I did feel a little bad that I was making her get out her roast beef and cut it on the cutter and everything else. So what do you think? Let's chat about it on the forums, and you can tell me. Here's your geeky bonus for the kitchen section. I found a cake pan on ThinkGeek this last week, and it's one of those silicone pans, and it's actually segmented out into 8 pieces. So you could make a cake that has divided pieces without worrying about cutting them. All of them will have the right proper edges. And so then you could individually decorate or even individually flavor each piece of cake. It's kind of silly, but it's totally a geeky thing to do. Like, if you want to be specific about it, I guess you could cook things in little ramekins, but this little cake pan was all segmented out. And I thought that was really funny. I'll put a link to that in the show notes so you can see how silly. Don't forget, it's fall and there are some wonderful fall things on sale. In our local grocery stores, there are a lot of Honeycrisp apples right now. Well, just apples in general. It's Washington. But the Honeycrisp apples were beautiful and on sale at the grocery store for a really good deal. So I made caramelized apples for my crepes with just some butter, some brown sugar, and the chopped up apples. And it caramelized really yummy. I made them before Eric got home. Sometimes I don't know exactly what time to have everything ready. And then I set them in a dish and put plastic wrap on top. And it actually made the caramelization sink deeper into the apples. And they were so good and tender. So it doesn't have to be complicated to be a really nice addition to your meal. Try it out.
I do so love to watch and listen.
From my library's selection of MP3s, I grabbed a few country songs. And I'm not always a country girl. I kind of like the things that are a little bit cross between country and pop rock, like Dixie Chicks. I'm blaming watching Heart of Dixie on the CW for some of the need for country songs because they actually have a really nice country girl soundtrack going along in the episodes. So, what did I get? I got some Carrie Underwood. Her song Undo It is awesome. And I grabbed a few more Dixie Chicks songs. I used to have their CD, and it's one of those that I loaned to a sibling and it got broken and all that. So I needed to refresh my collection and add a few of the old ones so that then I could reminisce and enjoy them. Listening to Wide Open Spaces actually reminds me of Winifred Burkle, Fred, on the show Angel, played by Amy Acker. There's this flashback to her leaving home in an episode called Shells. It's during season 5. And between that flashback and the fact that she actually has a Dixie Chicks poster on her wall in season 5 in her office, it totally connects in my head. So when I hear that song, I tend to think of Fred. So, but the song that they actually play when Fred is leaving home is another really good song. It's called A Place Called Home by Kim Ritchie, and it's on the Angel soundtrack. I love buying TV soundtracks, obviously. So, in the weird connected way that my brain works, that brought my mind around to Christian Kane, who's also on the Angel soundtrack with LA Song. And he has a direct connection to Portland now because of filming Leverage here. He's actually filmed some of the videos to his music in Portland. So there you go. There's the Portland connection in my media today in a roundabout fashion. And that's the story. I must confess, I am a little obsessive about tracking things that I do, especially when it's related to media. I've talked about tracking my TV and movie watchings on GitGlue. It's a little harder to track my music there. So, back a few years ago, I had set up a blog where I could list out the podcasts that I listen to, links to their show notes, and any commentary that I had that I wanted to remember about the episode. So I was thinking about it and I decided to start doing that again. It is so much more meaningful for me to reflect on what I have listened to and have that chance to look at the show notes and say, oh yeah, I remember I enjoyed such and such, or be reminded to go and enter a contest on a Ravelry group or go and leave a message on Twitter for somebody telling them how much I enjoyed whatever the aspect of the podcast was. So, getting to go through and doing this little really basic blog of the podcast I'm listening to makes me really happy. And I don't know if I want to share the link because I don't want anybody to feel bad that I didn't listen to their podcast as fast or as slow as I might. Sometimes it's just really what mood I'm in, if it works out to listen to. So yeah, maybe I'll add that to the sidebar of the podcast, Yearnings podcast site. I don't know yet. But I just thought I'd share how I was doing that tracking, because maybe it would give somebody else a brainstorm for what they would enjoy doing in their life. And along the way, I've added a few more podcasts to my list. I've been listening to them at night and laying in bed and knitting, and that has been a really nice thing for me. So I'm listening to a few more podcasts because I have built it into my daily schedule. So I want to talk about a few of them. I'm listening to Knit a Journey, which is Susan, and some of her podcasts are interviews. Some of her podcasts are about her knitting stuff, but other ones are a little more philosophical about the things in her life, things about her garden, just looking at herself and observing what makes sense to her. So it's been kind of one of those nice ones to put on when I'm having some really good quiet time or some knitting that I just want to sit, look at the knitting, not have anything else going on. I enjoy that. The next one is Spin Doctor. And I met Sasha at Black Sheep Gathering with her husband. And she has some really interesting podcasts that talk about techniques that are on the new side to me, because obviously her focus is spinning rather than knitting. So it makes me excited to get to that stage. Like, maybe someday I'll be doing some of the things that she's doing. So that makes me really excited to listen to her podcast and dream about where I will be next and what techniques I want to conquer next. So those are the two podcasts that I've added to my list, Knit a Journey and Spin Doctor, and I will put them on the list that's on the sidebar of the podcast page. Your geeky bonus for the media section is a shirt I found on ThinkGeek. Obviously, I bookmarked a few things at the same time, this along with the cake pan. And this is one that I've seen people wearing and I would like. It is from Firefly, the very first episode, which I was actually watching to test out my audio on my computer not too long ago. We just had it playing in the background so that we would know when the audio came out. And the shirt says, "Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal." And it's silly. It's got little dinosaurs on it, and it totally goes along with the scene. And so it's totally a line from the show. If you haven't watched it, the shirt makes no sense. But if you've watched it, it's kind of funny. And that relates to yarn, because I have a button that says, "Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal," that I got from Indigo Dragonfly at Sock Summit. And that is one of their yarn colorways. That rocks.
Have you giggled today?
Sometimes I find things that are just loosely related to the thing that originally got me there. This one is from via Just One More Rose podcast. They do a segment called If I Were a Rich Girl, and they had linked to a knitting tattoo headband, and I just couldn't picture it in my head. I had to go and click through to see what this looked like, and it's really kind of cute. It's a little patch that attaches onto a headband. And then I found there are a whole bunch of hair pretties that are on this site. And the one that I really liked is a hair clip that has a little one up with a heart on it. Like, you've won your life. The shop is called Janine Basil, and they make headbands, hats, and fascinators for women in London. It looks like shipping to the United States is not too bad. $650, and the hair clip is $19. So if I were a rich girl, I might get myself a retro gaming hair clip. It's just too cute. So I'll link to that in the show notes, and you can take a look. Another podcasty related thing I was going to talk about. I saw a few of Miss Calendar from Brass Needles wedding pictures, and she had a beautiful feather fascinator in her hair. Congratulations, Miss K. I'm so excited for you. So it had me thinking about the headband that I have that has feathers on it. It's not nearly as beautiful as hers, but it is a headband and the feathers go up and over my hair. But it's dark colors, and so it blends into my hair too much. So it's not quite as much of an impact as it could be. But here, let's link it back to Portland. I bought it in Portland the first year that I went to Crafty Wonderland's spring show. And I don't know if I still know the name of where I bought it from, but I'll see if I can find that and put it in the show notes. The picture that I have of me wearing it. My hair is so fluffy. It was the end of a day and it had gone a little crazy. So maybe I'll find you a picture for that, a new one at another point. You might giggle at this. I know I'm giggling at myself. I have been tweeting some of the silly makeup things that I have done with the hashtag tweets from the vanity. All squished together. Because it's been so much fun to talk about the different colors that I'm wearing or the process that I'm doing on my face. And so I've been sharing that. It's a little silly, but I do enjoy being girly and sharing that with others. So yeah, you can watch for those. I think I might keep doing that for a while until I run out of interesting topics to tell you about. Sometimes they include a picture of my eye makeup because my eye makeup is usually what I play with the most. So there you go. Tweets from my vanity.
Next time on the Yarnings Podcast.
I think that will about cover my silly Portland random geeky tips for you today. I look forward to coming back to you next time with I've got a couple books that I'd like to talk about. I've been thinking about tracking my expenses and sharing some of the ways that I do that to see if that will help you. And the Isolde Tig speech talk, whatever, I will have a little recap of that when after that has happened. So, looking forward to coming back to you then. Until that time, you can find me. You can find the show notes and everything about this episode on yarningspodcast.com. On the sidebar there, you can subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or visit the Ravelry group where we sometimes have discussions about the episodes. I love getting to hear from people that leave comments on the episode notes. It's always so much fun to chat with you. So let's see. If you'd like to follow me around during the day, I'm KDLB, just the letters, on Twitter. And on Ravelry, I'm Christine, with a K. I'll talk to you again very soon. And that's the story.